You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. That's right, I'm talking to you, Gen Z, and we're making sure you know what it means to be a godly man. And we started a show last time about worry and anxiety. So we're going to be in part two of that series, Worry and Anxiety. You know, we live in tough times, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world. You might be worried about your health. You might be worried about your girlfriend or lack thereof. You might be worried about your grades. You might be worried about your poor performance on video games lately. I don't know what you're worried about, Jim Z, but what I am telling you is we need to work on it. And so we're going to do a series we're right in the middle of on worry and anxiety. And I started off last time talking about what is the definition of worry? What is the definition of worry? And we actually started off saying what worry is not. Worry is not an appropriate concern for others. It is okay and even encouraged in the Bible to have an appropriate concern for others. And then we talked about how worry is not proper concern that causes you to attend to the business of others in a responsible way. So kind of a little bit of an overlap, but if you have a proper concern and that pushes you, it challenges you to do something about it that would be attending to the business of someone else in an appropriate way. We talked about Paul was actually anxious for the other churches he had planted. And in those texts, when the scripture says that Paul was anxious for those other church plants, doesn't mean he's sinning. It's not sinful anxiety there, but rather an appropriate attention that he wanted to give to those churches. And then we ended last time talking about worry is not right planning. Worry is not right planning. We want to plan. We want to prepare for the future, and yet we don't always know what the future beholds. And so it's not wrong to plan, but it is wrong to leave God out of your plans. We certainly don't want to leave him out of the plans that we have, all in his strength and for his glory. And so those are some things that worry is not. Today, we want to talk about what worry is. And so what is it? Number one, just give you a few thoughts here. Worry is an over-anxious concern about the future and things. An over-anxious concern about the future and things. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 6. This is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthews 5, 6, and 7. But here in Matthew 6, verse 25 and 26, here's what Jesus says. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." So just take it right there, guys. Anytime Jesus says, don't do something, it means it's a sin if you do it. And so here Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So again, we're learning here that worry is not being worried about the future, an over-anxious concern about the future and about things. I mean, this familiar passage encourages us not to worry. Jesus tells us, do not be anxious about your lives. He tells us, do not worry about what we will eat or drink. He tells us not to worry about what we will wear. Okay, so you shouldn't be overly concerned about, do I look cool enough with these kicks or not, right? I mean, he's saying in verse 26 that the birds neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. When he says that, he's saying that God will take care of us every single day, just like he takes care of the birds, right? You don't have to worry with an eye to the future. You don't have to worry, young man, about the things you have or about the things that you don't have. Sometimes we can be stressed out about how am I going to afford a car or to pay insurance. And you don't have to worry about the future. This means you don't have to worry about the future of your health, or you don't have to worry about the future of your finances. And you don't have to worry about the future of whether you're going to have kids one day or not. And you don't have to worry about the future of, am I single or am I married? Do I have a girlfriend or not? I mean, you don't have to worry about the future of what job you're going to get. You don't have to worry about the future of our nation. You don't have to worry about the future of the world. Your responsibility is to have an appropriate concern, but not to let that give way to sinful worry. God, who provides all things for your physical body, God, who provides all things for your food and clothing, God, who provides all things for the shelter over your head, God, who provides all things for the needs of your body, this is God reminding us today that if we are more than adequately cared for, then we are good, right? I mean, he more than adequately provides for all of his creation, then how much more will he adequately provide for you? I mean, if God feeds the birds of the air and you are not of more value, or are you not, I should say, of more value than they, right? You're more important than an animal. You're more important than your dog. You're more important than your pet bird, right? Those are created beings, but they're not created in the image of God. So God takes special care for you, young man. And it doesn't matter where you're at in the status with your family or your friends or your school, God cares about you. You were made in the image of the living God. You are not a bird of the air or grass of the field. You are not a dog or a cat, and you're not a monkey or a gorilla. You are a man, and you are a young boy who's growing into a man created into the image of God, and you have great value to God. He will take care of you, and he will provide you. And when this life is over, he will take you home. And so worry is not an over-anxious concern, or I should say worry is. It is, right? It is an over-anxious concern about the future and about things. But we also need to know, number two, the Greek word stresses the action and effects of worry. To divide, part, rip, tear apart, be anxious, and distract your attention. Those are some definitions of the Greek word here. The effects of worry, again, to divide, part, rip, tear apart, be anxious, and distract your attention. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 says, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. That's what Jesus says. No kingdom divided against itself will stand. Now, it's interesting because in this passage, Jesus is clearly saying that a kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. This means that it will become uninhabitable. In other words, you can't live this way. And that's kind of what we're talking about with worry. Worry divides you. Worry distracts you. Worry tears you apart from what is true and what you're fearful that might happen. And so it means that in one moment you could be trusting God, and in the next moment your thoughts are divided. When you're worried, your thoughts are divided all over the place. And so God's wanting to remind us not to be worried about our circumstances. Your attention should not be divided. You can't live with half your focus on Christ and half your focus on your problem. I mean, we also hear Jesus say in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful. That's what happens when you get worried. You start to worry about what's going on in the world and the desire for the things of the world. And I need more riches so that I can have more friends and have a good time. And what will I do if I don't have enough? You start to desire in your heart for other things. And you know what that does? When you allow those desires to enter into your heart, they begin to choke out the word. They began to take attention away from Christ in Scripture, and it proves to be unfaithful. And as you are being unfaithful, you're then being unfruitful because you can't bear fruit when you're worried. right? And this is in the middle of the parable of the soils, where some of the seed was sown on the path where the birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on the rocky ground and sprang up. But when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And so what this passage is saying is when you're too distracted, and you're distracted by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, then it could be that whatever faith you thought you had gets choked out. You aren't yielding any grain. And when you care too much about this world, whether that can be the deceitfulness of riches or the desire for other things, you could desire comfort. You could desire an easy life. You could desire to have all your wants met. Whatever it is for you today, if it's being choked out by the worries, then your desire is not of God. If that other desire is choking out your desire for the Word of God, then you are struggling with worry. So again, we're saying, what is worry? Worry is an over-anxious concern about the future. Worry is dividing your focus and distracting your attention from Christ. And number three, worry is anxiety that enslaves a believer with involuntary-like reactions and responses that biblical counseling is now needed. Like any sin, worry or anxiety can enslave a person. And this is someone who runs back to their worry again and again until they are completely enslaved. You think about it all the time. This person is a worry wart. They're controlled so much by their anxiety that they need help. And they could benefit either from formal counseling or from biblical counseling. And so don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to talk about worry and anxiety. What is it and how do we deal with it? We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. And what he's talking about today, it's got my mind racing, because I've never thought about how he's defined worry, something that really divides and tears apart your attention. Never thought about it that way. And the Masters University is a place that recognizes this crisis, and you know what they're doing? They're addressing it head on. Other secular universities are loading students with more anxiety triggers, and the professors at the Masters University, like Dr. Adam Tyson himself, also another one of our fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford, they understand that preparing young men for leadership means teaching them to guard their minds against what culture is trying to do to divide it. If you have a high school senior, or you know someone who does, or maybe you yourself are thinking about going back to school, Masters University offers something different, and it is worth looking into. Masters.edu/manhood to get the conversation started right now. Also, let me say this real quick. Adam referenced the parable of the soils. That parable kind of registers a little bit differently when you realize that we're living in that thorns environment that Jesus described. Young men just like you who believe in what we're doing at Fortis Institute, you matter. Because if Fortis Institute has ever been influential in your life, if we've ever done anything that has helped you understand culture and your place in it, we've only been able to do that because of our gospel partners. And that's where you come in. That's what I'm talking about. If you've ever been helped by any content that we've produced here, and you have an ability to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner to help us continue providing this type of content so that more people in more places all over the world will have access to it, I want to ask you if you would start praying about that. I don't want to ask you to immediately jump into just giving us money. No, we're not that kind of ministry. We want you to spend time with this, pray about it, find out how exactly it would impact your life to stand arm in arm with us. But first, make sure you're giving to your local church. As we tell you all the time, that's your number one giving priority. If you're not faithfully giving to your local church, do not give to this ministry, nor any other ministry for that matter, because your local church is your number one giving priority. But if you have that area of your life taken care of, and you have a margin to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your partnership can help us get this content into the eyes, into the ears of more men all over the world that need to hear it. Pray about what it would look like in your life to join us. And if you have any questions, we've got answers right now at FortisInstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, as we're talking about worry and anxiety. We're talking about what it is and what it's not. Worry is not an appropriate concern. Worry is not a concern that causes you to attend to the needs of others. And worry is not right planning. But what is worry? Well, worry really has a lot to do with the future. When you're over-anxious and concerned about the future, what might happen, what might not happen. The Greek word even stresses that worry is about tearing you apart, dividing your attention. And we ended right before the break saying that anxiety enables, enslaves a believer with involuntary-like reaction and responses that biblical counseling is needed for you. That's right, anxiety could be a sin that's grabbed a hold of your heart to the point of where you need to meet with somebody. You need to be pursuing discipleship. You need to talk to your mom or your dad or your youth pastor or your college pastor or some godly man in your church or even a biblical counselor and say, you know what? I feel like anxiety is just weighing me down. It's exactly what Proverbs 12:25 says. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Do you feel heavy? Are you having trouble getting clarity in your heart and just a peace in your spirit about moving forward? Maybe your heart is being weighed down. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Man, that's pretty devastating, right? If you have a crushed spirit and you're worried and anxious about how things aren't going your way, it can drive up your bones. So worry is an over-anxious concern about the future. Worry is dividing your focus, and worry can be enslaving. So now that we've seen a definition of worry, let's flesh out a little bit more the explanation of worry. So our second major heading in this series is, now that we have a clear definition about what worry is and what it's not, let's talk about a little further explanation of worry. There really is a fine line between appropriate concern and sinful worry. Since most of us in the church know that worry is a sin, then we often try to rationalize our worry as just concern and nothing more. Or we may think that our worry is so involuntary that it is just something that happens and we can't really control it. I mean, we are human beings after all. And so we may view it as an anxiety attack, which is simply a psychological response, which we can't stop. Or you can try, but you just feel like my heart's racing and I can't really stop it. And what I'm telling you today, young man, is I have good news for you from the scripture is that you can stop worry. Now, again, if you're already having a sympathetic nervous response of sweating and racing heart rate, that physiological response, you may not be able to stop on a dime, right? But that got there because of what you were thinking about. And the way that that response happened is you maybe weren't keeping control and keeping a lid on it, or better yet, looking for help from God. Because as a Christian, you don't have to be enslaved to any sin. And as a Christian, you can do it with the Lord's help. And it comes by controlling your thoughts. And so I want to ask you the question today, young man, how do you know when concern becomes worry and therefore a sin? Okay, so I'm going to give you 7 ways to think about this. This is nuancing or giving a very fine layer of difference between concern, which would be appropriate, and concern, which would be sinful anxiety. So how do you know when concern has become sin? Here's 7 things that you can think about to test and see if this is what's happening. Number one, your thoughts are focused on changing the future. I told you that worry has a lot to do about, well, what's happening in the future. And so if your thoughts are consumed with somehow changing the future, if you're constantly focused on the future and becoming engrossed in how you can change the future to prevent something from happening, then that can become a sin. You know, if you're going overboard trying to remove every possible risk factor so you don't get cancer, you know, and you're starting to think about you don't smoke, well, that would be healthy not to smoke anyway, and that could be an enslaving sin. And then you start thinking about, I don't want to be exposed to secondary smoke. And then you start thinking about, well, I don't want to go to the game where someone might be smoking. And then you start thinking about, you know, it just goes on and on and on, and you're just trying to change everything because you're worried to death that if you're exposed to something, then you could get some type of disease, or you're worried if I don't take all these vitamins or I don't take all these supplements in order to prevent some type of disease. There's a way to do that in a healthy way, and then there's a way to do that in an OCD type way where you're freaking out that if you don't do everything perfectly, you're going to get some type of disease. Listen to me. You cannot change the future, right? You can look at the future, but you can't change the future. We have to leave the future in God's hands. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18 says, "Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. So we know things are going to happen in the future. We don't know exactly what they are, but we do know that no matter what happens, our hope in God and our hope in His Word does never have to be cut off. There's always hope in God because He holds the future in His hands. And so again, I would just say to you, young man, don't try to change the future. Trust God with the future. For God ordains all things and is working it out for His glory and for your good. A second way that concern becomes worry and therefore a sin is that when your thoughts are not focused on Christ. When your thoughts are not focused on Christ. Check out Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth." I love that passage, and I need to be reminded of it pretty much every day, that when my thoughts start to wander and I start to worry about what might happen, then I need to be reminded that I need to be seeking the things that are above. I need to be thinking about God and thinking about His omnipotence and His omnibenevolence and His omniscience and all the characteristics of who God is. And I need to set my mind on that, on the person of Jesus Christ. And if your thoughts are focused more on your problem than they are on Jesus and on His love for you, then your thoughts are focused on the wrong thing. So concern becomes worry, number three, when it controls you instead of you controlling it. Okay, are your thoughts controlling you or are you controlling your thoughts? I mean, think about what Jesus said in John 14, 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Okay, really like this passage because Jesus is saying, "I give you peace." So you're worried about what's going to happen. You shouldn't allow it to control you, right? You should be controlling it. In other words, you're not to be mastered or dominated by anything, but you're to let the peace of God empower you to walk with obedience, that peace would be what you filter all of your thoughts through. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so concern becomes worry, and therefore sin number four, when it causes you to neglect other responsibilities and relationships. Think about 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies." This passage is simply saying God's called you to serve others. And if you're so worried, you're so locked down with your fear that you're not able to serve others, then maybe your worry is sinful because it's causing you to neglect your other responsibilities and relationships. Again, God's called you to serve others both at home and in the body of Christ at church. And if your worry and anxiety are keeping you from doing this, then that's a sin. Let's move on to number five. Worry is a sin when it damages your body, when it damages your body. And all I'm trying to say here is that proverb earlier, Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. There are times where young people develop physical problems because they've been overly anxious. It could be something as simple as you worry too much, and so your body secretes certain enzymes and certain responses to that. And so let's say that it eats a hole in the lining of your stomach. When you worry, it increases the hydrochloric acid in your stomach. And if that eats through the lining, it has such a strong pH that you could get an ulcer. And now you have a tummy ache, literally an ulcer, because you worry too much. Sometimes people talk about, "I have a high-stress job." And so it's not the problem's not the job. The problem is that the anxiety becomes the normal response to the job, and therefore it starts to damage your body. And that might be an indication that you're worrying a little too much. Let's move on to number six. Worry can become sin when, number six, you lose hope instead of finding answers. I mean, consider what Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." So what we're saying is when you lose that hope because you're stressed out about what's going on, then it's a sin, right? We're not supposed to lose hope. We're supposed to be filled with hope, which brings joy and peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And one last concern that when concern becomes worry and therefore sin is number seven, when you stop functioning, like Proverbs 22 verse 13 says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. And so in this situation, the young man is being lazy and he's being a sluggard, and that is not honoring to the Lord. So what we're looking at here today is that worry can be crippling. Worry might damage your soul and your body. Worry is something that you can only overcome in Christ. Let me pray for us that God would help us to that end. God, I'm praying for the young man in Gen Z right now who's worried or stressed out about something in his life that is really distracting him from loving you and walking in obedience to your word. Would you help him diagnose what the problem is? And then would you help him to set his eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.